life and relationship coach, Colleen Diedrich. Are you there, Miss Colleen?
Yes, I am.
Did you miss me, girl? Because I missed you.
I did.
I was like, I have to give Colleen a break. She can't chat to me every week. So, Lord, man. We just got to take up the whole lot of time, so.
Oh, God. I wasn't complaining. Oh, I'm good. You're good company.
Oh, same. I wanted to have this conversation with you because I'm going to tell you the truth. I was on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this article that said, are you unknowingly destroying your man with the things you say? And mm-hmm. I was like, what do you mean? You know, and I open it up. And then the first thing that comes up is your first rule of thumb, basically, which is easy on the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no,
mm-hmm.
this might be me, you know. And it's so much so it struck up a conversation with Wayne and I last night because I was like, you know, boy, I'm reading this thing. I was talking to Colleen, you know, we mm-hmm. were talking about this whole idea. And I think that there have been some instances where I have unknowingly been, you know, breaking you down or making you feel less than you are. And I was like, wow, if that's happening to me in my relationship, how many people is that happening to? And there's so many more things. But I wanted to just start with that and say, hey, are women really unknowingly doing this, and how?
Absolutely. Hands down. And it is one of those things that we do without thinking. Yeah. It is unfortunate because oftentimes when we come into the realization that we've been, you know, assaulting, for want of a better word, our partner in this regard, the person is usually on the way out, or things have hit a rut in the relationship. They might need some intervention. And it is during that time, you know, the gentleman says to them, I feel beaten. There is a thing with us as women, yeah, where especially the independent woman, where we feel as though the man ought to have similar skill sets. He ought to be able to navigate the day-to-day run-ins, the business, the way that we would do it. Yeah. And so if it is that he falls short, and I promise you, men don't necessarily dot I's and cross T's, and I try my best not to generalize, but some men don't necessarily dot I's and cross T's the way that some women do. You have some women who are ridiculously efficient at managing the business, managing the home. They see, it's almost like them have eyes in the back of them head. So them see, run down the picnic, catch him before him, go mm-hmm. start a lick of fire over there. So they're also cooking, right? They're making the list, the supermarket list, and whatever. They go to the supermarket and get just about everything. But the difference is most of us would have been schooled in that area. We as women have been nurtured to take care of home, to take care of man, to take care of business. Some of us, depending on, you know, how it is that we were socialized, have all of those things covered. So when we meet a man who have shortcomings, or we have an expectation that as the man, these are the things that he's supposed to be doing, then we beat him over the head, not recognizing what are his natural tendencies.
Mm.
What is he predisposed to? His personality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't take those things into consideration, then over a period of time, we start to beat him over the head for something that that is just natural.
Mm-hmm.
We will see, again, you see the amount, the urgency that we attach to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Some men don't.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't, all of a sudden we see that as something to mark him down.
Right.
And something that we're talking to him about, and you're not as attentive as I want you to be,
mm-hmm.
and how you're not helping out in the house or whatever. As and I say to women, I ask them all the time, who was he before?
Mm.
When you guys were courting, right, who was he before? When you went to his house, who was he before? Don't automatically expect that by virtue of you guys living together, getting married, having children, that automatically some of the fundamental things are going to change. And they might change, but it mightn't be a movement in the direction that you consider to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And so instead of applauding movement, close approximation towards this thing, what we end up doing is cussing.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, so a very quick and easy way to, you know, if you want something to change or you need something to be different or you need help with something, switch that criticism to encouragement.
Absolutely.
And it changes the game.
It does. But most of us have never been exposed to that. Mm. We come from a school of thought that suggests that you're going to have to criticize. And look at how we talk to our children. Mm. You have to criticize them and compare them and whip them in gear all the time. It's harsh words. Mm-hmm. Lash over them back, going to, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully get them to move in the direction that you want. Mm-hmm. That don't go away whenever it is that you're in a relationship. And most of us come from a situation where we were also socialized like that. Our mother did a crack the whip over our behinds. Mm-hmm. So what it is that we do, we pretty much just go into relationships and relive our own experiences.
Oh yes.
So most of us don't know no better.
You know, I don't want to cut you, but I want say that I know this happens in the reverse as well. No, mm-hmm. I don't know if you think it does. If you do think it does, I would love to revisit it on the flip side for next week. I know mm-hmm. this week we're talking about how women do this to men, but I do believe there's also the side where men do this to women, mm-hmm. where they destroy women with certain things that they say or don't say and aren't aware of.
Right.
And so if you think they're two separate things, then I think we should definitely discuss that second side another time. But if you don't, then...
No, I do.
Okay,
I
great.
Do.
So we'll just focus on the men today, or the women, how the women speak with men, for anybody mm-hmm. who's listening. Because I know that people are listening going, well, men do that too. Mm-hmm. But we will deal with that in a later episode. I agree 100% with what you said, you know, as far as being socialized a certain way. My next thing is that, you know, I don't think that women realize sometimes the things that they don't do. Like, for example, something as simple as saying thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because you see, this is the thing now. You're in a relationship with a person and you figure that, why am I going to say thank you for something that he ought to be doing? You see, but the sign of appreciation is the thing that we are missing in relationships, especially those relationships that are long-term relationships. Yeah, mm-hmm. You might have incidences of it in the early stages where you're still happy and you're preoccupied and you're still just blown away by the things he's doing, this and this. Yeah, as the relationship ages, what you find is that you take it for granted. So we forget to say, can you please take out the salt of the fridge for me? Thank you so very much, honey. I really, really do appreciate what it is that you're doing. I like it whenever it is that you stay with the children. And we say to ourselves that, why am I going to tell him thanks for that? He's supposed to be staying with the children. It's being pitting to them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But not recognizing, again, taking into consideration the personality of the individual that you have at hand. We have to take that into consideration and then act accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love that. I actually said to Wayne yesterday, you know, after talking about all of this, I was like, man, I can't believe how easy it is to let those little things slip by and what it means. Because, you know, that would never fly for me. Like, if I give Wayne something and him never said thank you, me that feel away. You know, so I can't. But you're so right. We equate it with being, well, that's what you should be doing.
Exactly.
So why should I thank you for it? That's so unfair.
No. And you see, them little common courtesies here,
mm-hmm.
my love, it goes a long way.
Amen.
Because over a period of time, I start to feel resentment. The man starts to feel resentment that you just kind of take him for granted. And you see, when people come and sit with me in counseling sessions and the woman is now hearing the man say something like that, she's looking at her, but I don't understand. Why would you take this personal? But it's not, it is... the period of time that it has been happening is not one time it happened. It's not two times. It is now a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I bring something for you, you just collect it and you're gone. There's no mention of it. So now I feel like the servant. I feel like somebody underneath your big toe.
Mm-hmm.
It matters.
Mm-hmm.
It matters.
You know, I love this conversation so much because, like it says, you know, it's unknowingly, it's things that we mm-hmm. may not be aware of. And that's the point of the show today, to try and bring to people's attention behavior that they may not be aware of. So mm-hmm. I'd love for you to stay on the line because I'd love to talk about a couple more things. Already we've covered easing up on criticism and simple courtesies, saying thank you, saying please, saying you're welcome, you know, mm-hmm. those things just fly out the window after a while. But please stay on the line. Colleen, because there are a couple more instances where I'd love to kind of just, you know, talk about it so that people can be more aware of what may be going on right there in their own homes. So you are locked into Live Out Loud right here on The Edge 105. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into Live Out Loud right here on The Edge 105.1 and 105.3 FM. We're asking the question, are women unknowingly destroying their men with the things that they say or even the things that they don't say? On the line with me is life and relationship coach Colleen Diedrich, helping me to unpack this. Colleen, are you still there?
I am.
Wonderful. You know, Colleen, another thing that came up, we spoke earlier about the fact that, you know, common courtesies and easing up off of criticism. This one came up and I thought it was very interesting as well, and I wanted to get your take on it. But treating men like one of the kids. And this happens a lot. Now, I was talking, you know, with some girlfriends about this, and I was like, you know, it's so hard, especially when you do have kids in the house. Sometimes everybody falls under like the mom voice, as I call it. And I said, you know, it's not that I mean to like maybe say something in a certain way. And Wayne is very good at looking at me two times and saying, me I talk to?
Stand down.
And I'm like, cool, my bad. But at the same time, and this is something I always say, Wade is the first one to say to me, where are the car keys? What's the password for this? I don't know where this is. I'm like, bro, well then, you get what I'm saying? So I'm like, isn't it understandable when women go into mother role sometimes? Because sometimes men don't know where anything is or what's going on. And it's like, you're in the group with everybody else who don't know, which happen to be all the kids.
No,
you know, I'm playing both sides of the coin here.
Yeah, man, I hear you doing the devil's advocate.
Yes.
Okay, you see, the thing is this, is to always be mindful who it is that you're talking to. And sometimes there can be a slip. If you are shouting, you know, bawling out orders, directives to the children, so on and so, and then in the midst of that, husband come and say, baby, where are the keys? It is natural sometimes, given your level of frustration, to respond as though he is your 16-year-old, your 15-year-old, yes? However, whilst a man can understand a one-off situation, twice maybe, five times, all right, over a period of time, if this is how you speak to him, then he starts to see it as condescending. Condescending, and you undermine his authority because the children aren't stupid either. They notice the tone that you take with the man. Yes? And so after a period of time, they speak to him in a particular way because mommy has set the stage that it's okay to talk to him like so. So the thing is, there are far-reaching repercussions for this. So to say that boy is a slip of the tongue and boy, sometimes the man them slight and them not paying enough attention isn't good enough. Why? Because of the onlookers, the children, and how it is that you are positioning their father in their eyes. You're literally taking away his manhood.
And it's so easy to do without even realizing it. And this is why I want women to take a look and say, hey, am I doing these things? Because I may unknowingly be destroying. And I know that sounds like a big word, but it really is true.
That's exactly what it is. You see, there are some things, as I said, if the man don't know where the key is, over a period of time, then we need to put some corrective measures in place, right? So we're going to have a station where we're, you know, a table. We're going to put up a little key rack on the wall or whatever else. So we minimize the incidences of him asking where the key is, right? There are some things now, if you consider these things to be a nuisance, and over a period of time, you know your man, you know his nuances, right? It is now for you to put some things in place to ensure that we minimize, you know, the incidences. Also, you are having conversations. You are saying to him, honey, babes, I really would like for you to be a little bit more attentive. I'm putting the stuff here. I like it if you start to jump around and do this and this and this. Why? Because then that will reduce the incidences of you feeling the need to chastise him, to speak to him and make him small. Even if the children aren't there, you are still making him small.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Another thing that I think about a lot as well that people may be doing is not trusting in their partner's abilities. And I think this is like a big thing for men, you know, especially because of the whole independent women thing. you know? And so I want to talk a little bit to how women can jump on board for certain things that their men want to do or be or want to handle. And they need to step back and let them handle. And we talk about this all the time. It may take 20 days to get it done, but let them do it, even from the smallest task to the biggest idea, you know?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. When I got married, we buy up the furniture and all of this, yeah? Now, some of the things required us putting them together, right? We had a bookshelf that needed to put together, the table, we had to put the legs and stuff together or whatever, right? See that? I come home, I tell husband, you know how women stay, we're house proud and we want the house in order by a certain time. Come home and tell husband I needed to handle these things. 1 week passed, nothing. 2 weeks passed, nothing. So, you know, by the end of the second week, I had a crew in. So he came home to see the place in order and he was livid. Livid, because he's saying, listen to me, you asked me to get this stuff done. I am going to do it. I was preoccupied doing this. I spoke to you. I told you. I expected you just to hold on. It's just the two of us in the house. You know what I mean? And we don't need these things set up right this minute. And I am saying, but I want them set up so the house can start to feel like a home.
And no, doesn't what you feel, isn't that important too, though?
It is. But you see, let me tell you what I had to learn during the course of that marriage. The importance of standing down. You said something that was pertinent just now. It might take him 20 days to get it done. Leave it alone. You see, there is a way that we as women set up ourselves. We ask the man to do something. We get impatient because we can't work with his timeline and we jump on it. And then we complain that we are being overworked because, again, you send a message to the man over a period of time. We're coaching him, you know. If you ask him to do something and then because of your impatience or your lack of confidence in his ability to do it, you go ahead and get it done, then after a while, he becomes more laid back. He becomes more lax. Why? Because you know what? Sharon going to handle this anyway. I know how she stays. She asked me to do it. And if I don't do it within the next 2 days, then she going to get on top of it. And so when we get frustrated after a year, 5 years of doing this, 6 years of doing this, and we complain or the man complacent, we never take into consideration that we set these sequence of motions in play. By our actions, by us giving him this responsibility and taking it away. So what I learned is that I had to choose my battles. It is not going to cost me anything to wait these 20 days.
And it makes me think, like, what are we trying to prove? That you can't do it? Like, or that we can do it on our own? Like, what is that thing that women do that we're just like, you know, oh, you won't do it? Okay, fine, I'll do it. It happened just the other day. Like, even I talk about the dishes all the time. Wayne, can you move that cup for me? Sure, babe, no problem. It cup now move. You know me, just sweeps past and take your cup, right? And I'm like, why can't I just leave the cup? It's just a cup.
But you see, it's how we are wired and understand how the cup becomes an issue in the relationship. Because guess what? No, it's just a cup. But you go to bed, and if we're now having conversation with you and you're giving him monosyllables, why are you upset? Because he never moved the cup.
Don't even make any sense.
You follow what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So it's learning how to choose your battles. And
because
of him not moving the cup, and there are other incidences that we could put in place of the cup, snowball and become things that we catch up in our belly and get resentful over. So that's what I'm saying. I had to learn how to choose my battles.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that really and truly, when you stop and you ask yourself, does this really matter in the scheme of things? And a lot of us are OCD.
Thank you.
We don't really have nothing. We just sit down there, go on, and then we complain that we're exhausted at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. I'm about an orderly house.
Yeah.
I come from a house, you know, my parents are house proud, this kind of a deal, right? My mother believe house must flawless every time. So I'm a product of my socialization. But me and my ex-husband did butt heads many times because of that. Me a customer because I'm walking in the house without him shoes. With him shoes on. You get what I mean?
And then
after a while, I said to myself, Colleen, take into consideration how he was socialized. He's not coming from a background that they took the shoes off at the front door. They walked in through the door. That's why you mop and you wipe. You sweep out and stuff. So this thing here where you're policing him to take off his shoes, this can become annoying for him.
Yeah. And it's irrelevant, really, you know?
At the end of the day, it is. Because if I say to him, babe, just sweep out. And him say, what happened? I say, you're walking and some dirt. And him don't bat an eyelid. All right. And him handle that and it's done.
Yeah. 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 Or you find yourself making little comments. And I'm telling you, let me tell you, especially now, it's so easy for those things to happen. It's not even funny. It takes a level of self-control to just say, this is not the battle I'm choosing right now.
Absolutely.
We have bigger fish to fry.
Thank you. Yeah. And leave it.
Yeah, it's not a joke. You always love come drape me up, you man, lad. May I start calling somebody else because you drape me up wicked every time I really open it now, listen. But, you know, I do this segment every week called Dear Tammy. And, you know, people write in with their dilemmas or situations. It's not always based around relationships. Sometimes it is. And we kind of give our two cents. But I would love you to chime in on this next one if you could. I just wanted to play one song in between to just let people have a vibe of what we just spoke about. Let them think about the battles they're picking. And by the way, we're coming back next week to talk about the flip side of this and how men do this same thing to women in a whole different way sometimes. But I'd love for you to stay on the line, and I'd love for our listeners to just listen to what Colleen just said. And let me tell you, some golden nuggets as usual. Stand down, ladies. I love it. You're locked in to Live Out Loud right here on The Edge 105. You're locked in to Live Out Loud right here on The Edge 105.1 and 105.3 FM. I'm your host, Tammy Chin Mitchell, and we are having a wonderful conversation about how women may be unknowingly destroying their men. On the line, I have Colleen Diedrich. She's a life and relationship coach and one of the best for sure. Colleen, we actually have some messages from some people that I just want to read quickly.
Well, there's a husband that says, I need you to recap the important parts of the show because my wife missed the first part.
No.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Another one, Dee says, listen, you're going to make me the perfect wife after you and Miss Colleen done with me. Gems.
I love that. I love that.
And then there's Amanda who say, but if I put the keys in the same place and him still not learn, we've lived in the same house for 3 years. I all know him still don't know where to find the things. One of the things I started doing was asking him to put away the dishes when I wash them and him still can't learn. But isn't it us stepping down to their nonchalant, non-caring attitude? Why can't they step up to ours?
I agree. Colleen, I agree. I changed my mind. I agree with that now. I want the keys for fine. I don't want to tell you where the key them there again.
No, you see, but it's, as I said.
Man, and me pose as who you said, Senator Amanda?
No.
Man, and me pose and send Amanda a message there, you know.
Oh, my God.
Tamanda. Sorry, what are you saying, Colleen?
No, what I'm saying is this, right? Again, we have to recognize the personality of the individuals that we have. And if they continue to behave in a particular way, then we can come to the assumption that this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Some people absent-minded.
Yeah.
Me guilty of that.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Me can't find no key.
But that's why you take up for them, man.
No,
see there?
Not necessarily. But the thing is this, where it is that might be my shortcoming, I excel in other areas, I promise you. So if it is that I cannot find the key, or where I fall down is in the technicalities, the internet and the different applications and whatever else, when we say lost, we mean properly lost, but sensibly in other areas. You follow what I mean?
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head.
So my thing is to say, if you recognize this to be a pattern, this is not me being lackadaisical, because if I have to contend with your lip each time I can't find the key, then clearly this is not something I'm doing for the kicks. So if I take that into consideration, then as I said, we work on strategies.
Yeah.
So listen now, baby, this is what we're going to be doing. You are going to tell him, set up the key rack over here. Mm-hmm. If him set up the key rack, he know where the key rack there.
Why would we just leave the car on? Make everybody life easy. The car is always on.
Wow. Okay then.
I'm just kidding. But you know, you just said a while ago that just really like knocked some sense, I'm sure, into a lot of people, because it struck me again was, you know, we're talking about keys here, but you said something really poignant, and it was that, hey, this might be something I'm not so great at, but I promise you there are other things I'm good at. And it's
Absolutely.
Just what we're putting our attention on.
Thank you.
It is, you know, at the end of the day. I don't want to keep you for too much longer, but I do have this dear Tammy that I don't feel I can tackle alone. I mean, I could barely read it. It was actually one of those that just kind of like, you know, punch you in the gut kind of thing.
Right.
So Roxine is going to read it because I want to listen to it again. And I'd love to hear what your take is on it.
No problem, sweetheart.
Dear Tammy, the other night I realized that after 8 years of friendship and relationship and 6 years of marriage, I no longer find my wife attractive. Seeing and typing these words makes me feel horrible inside, but I'm trying to stay honest. My wife is an absolutely wonderful woman and mother to our kids. She's strong and loving and loyal. Everything on paper a man should have in a wife. But if I'm being totally honest with myself, for the last year or so, our sex life has taken a downward turn to the point of almost non-existence. I'd say we've been intimate maybe 3 times in the past year. I realized I lost interest in being physical with her, and unless I was really in need, I would just do without our self-help because I don't believe in or condone cheating. I still love her very much, don't get me wrong, but the sight of her and the desire for her are gone. She didn't gain weight or anything, so my lack of attraction isn't because of anything like that. But I see her and I feel no burning fire, or as we say, skin catch a fire. I don't yearn for her, lust for her the way I did when we were just a couple and when we just got married. What is bothering me most is the fact that I have no idea why my feelings have gone. I love her for the woman she is and the person she is, but my body no longer reacts to her. Am I a horrible man? How do I regain the yearn and sexual desire for my wife when I realize it's been gone for a year now? Thanks for any advice you can give. Signed, On Feeling.
So you know me, never know if I start with this, right? So look here, you need to call Colleen Diedrich.
Yeah.
Which I'm probably going to respond with that for sure. I imagine this happens to a lot of people.
It does. And the thing is this, we have to understand that relationships unfold in stages. Yeah. So in the initial stages, the early stages where things are hot and we cannot get enough of each other. My God, everything is exciting. Every word that, you know, come out of their mouth is manna from heaven. That is the honeymoon. That's the honeymoon. That's when things are good. You are just getting to know. And we are fascinated, intrigued by who this person is as they start to unravel in front of us. There is still so much newness. Yeah. However, when we decide to, boy, this newness grab in our throat and we must deal with this person, we have to deal with them. This person has to, I have to charge through life with this person. We made the decision to get involved in a relationship. First couple of years, things are still spicy. Why? Because we would have transitioned into getting to know, moved into living together, right? Or we take the leap and we decide that we're going to get married. All of these things are still new experiences. Us having children together, new experiences, yeah? Now, over a period of time, and the gentleman hits it just about right, between the 7 to the 10 year mark, that is when you find that there is a lull in the relationship. It is a perfectly natural lull. There are different things that are pulling our attention away from the relationship. Once we introduce the children, I promise you, it requires a level of consciousness, intentionality in order to keep the relationship at the focus. Why? We are taking care of the picnic them, we are taking care of mortgage, we are taking care of the car payment, we are trying to advance to ensure now that we can keep the roof over the heads and food in the picnic them belly and so on. So our priorities are different. All of these things eat away at our time. And over what we find happening is this. You after a while again you fall into a routine. You fall into a routine. There is nothing new. Nothing new happening. Wife now look raggedy because she take care of the children and all whatever else. She no longer feels the need to put herself together in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so the only time now that we find that we're going to kill up ourselves to, you know, to put on something a little exciting for him, to do something a little out of the way for our partner is quote-unquote Valentine. And forget that Valentine is one day out of 365 or 366 days. And after that day is finished, we get somebody to keep the children and we surprise him with this or, you know, I surprise her with that. But that's just about the only time that we try to add a little oomph.
You may get and a birthday and an anniversary too.
There you go, birthday, anniversary, there you go. But you notice 3 days out of 365 days. And so what I'm saying is the lull which comes as a result of the routine is natural, but now it requires work. It requires effort on both of us partner in order to re-energize, to bring back the spice in the relationship, because that's all that's missing at this point. The gentleman said he is not otherwise preoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's not into cheating or whatever else. Well, let me quickly clarify. That doesn't mean that he might not be otherwise preoccupied.
Mm.
He could be talking to somebody else who is a source of interest for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, then that is filling. I don't. If I'm getting this kind of stimulation outside of, you know, our union or whatever else, that would self-help.
Right.
In starting out. Exactly.
Right.
That can tide him over.
But you would say that people can save themselves in these situations, eh? Like, meaning it is something that can be refreshed and rekindled and re-energized, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's why I do what it is that I do. It's
just exactly.
That most times we don't know how.
Mm.
And we feel so overwhelmed. The idea of having to articulate this, and I understand what it is that he's saying, and I think, let me applaud him for his honesty.
Yeah.
Because to say it is to breathe to breathe life into it. You know,
yeah.
you're thinking it.
No, you made it real.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that I get in goosebumps.
Yeah.
For him to be brave enough to articulate it, that's a big deal. And that's the first step. And most of us cannot articulate it, because to say it is almost like you feel as though you're hurting this. Mm-hmm. You're driving a blow straight in this woman's heart.
Because it's still somebody you love. You know,
it's
not like him don't love her. It don't sound like it's not that them out of love him. Just his body's not responding how it used to.
Absolutely.
And things aren't what they... But I agree with you.
Yeah,
I do feel like it can be.
Never.
Yeah, you do. And you know, you said it so perfectly. Your relationship sees so many different seasons, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially if you've been married for a long time, even if you're not, but where you have to revisit, re-energize, renew.
Absolutely. You see, this thing is, people believe. You see, Tammy, here's the biggest problem that I find with our understanding of relationship. The love, the fire that we had, we figure some way, somehow, that by itself, that's going to take us through the different stages of our lives.
Not good
and
enough.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to, at some point, go in at the engine and jumpstart it, prime it, forget it, and somebody behind it,
mm-hmm.
and push it down the hill. And we, you understand what I mean?
Yeah, balance and align, fix the chassis, everything.
Absolutely. It requires constant attention. And the
constant.
Thing is, as difficult as it is to articulate that this is how he is feeling, it is the first step.
Yeah, wonderful.
It is the first step.
Colleen, the second step, mm-hmm. I would say, is to call you. So I would love to know, I would love to know how people can be in touch with you, how they can find you online, so that they can find out more about you and maybe even enlist you for some help, you know, because I mean, I think you're so wonderful at what you do, and I'd love for everybody
Thank
to know
you.
How to be in touch with you.
All right. You can reach me 876-575-6733. As it pertains to his wife, I would love to talk to her. She
mm-hmm.
could try one of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
I teach sensual dancing.
Mm-hmm. Look here.
So that is...
I should teach them online these days, let me tell you.
Yes, please. Yes, please. All right. So you can check me out on Instagram. Brace yourself, people, okay? I come at you hot and heavy. So it's Colleen D, that's CalleenDee, right? There, and you can also find me on Facebook. That's Colleen Diedrich on Facebook.
Wonderful. Colleen, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for, you know, being here with us and sharing this space with us and always being so fair, so honest, so open, so real. Mm-hmm. We love you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime
Blessings.
Soon.
No worries, my love. Blessings. And thanks for having me.
Always, always. Thank you so much.
Right.
You are locked into Live Out Loud. I feel like I need to go and get a drink. Ooh, I just had Colleen just saved my whole life. She's the best. You're locked into Live Out Loud right here on The Edge 105.1 and 105.3 FM.